like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, August 28th, 2017. As has been our practice for many, many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is the approval of the executive session minutes of August 14th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilmember Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Now let the record show that the four council members present and all four voted for the motion, and Councilmember Lewis is absent. Next is the approval of the, let me explain the reason for the executive session closure. Obviously to obtain legal advice on a legal matter, and before a contract is awarded or bids are open to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of the bid or proposal. Okay, but public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes of August 14th.
Motion to approve.
And we have a motion to approve by Councilmember Brittingham. The regular session minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes 4-0. Okay. Next is a very enjoyable little thing that the paper is doing. Bobby is joining. And, I'm very pleased to tell everyone that Worcester County has an annual awards that they provide each year to organizations and particularly entities of public service. And this year, the volunteers at Berlin's Welcome Center or Visitor Center, depending on if you prefer to call it, our volunteers were honored by Worcester County, and would you kind of explain the award?
Oh, sure. I'm actually going to have Sharon come up with me because we worked on this together.
Okay. And this was presented Thursday night?
This was presented Thursday night. We had nominated our Welcome Center volunteers because they just don't get enough credit sometimes. They are there every day, and I wrote something down. Some of the things that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And when you work in the Welcome Center, Visitor Center, you meet all different kinds of people. And first, I'd like to thank, and if they could stand up when I read their names, Janet, Cassandra, Betty, is Betty here? Betty Tustin is not here. And Kim, is she here? Sure. Janet Benner, Cassandra Brown, Betty Tustin, Kim Frazier, Mary Raley, Lori Diampa, Carolyn Connolly, and Bill Burke.
And why don't you come up here so we can get a picture to take and get you? Maybe where would you
sure. Sure. What are the? I wrote something down.
This is
going
to be the hardest thing you have to do all year, right?
I wrote something down just to give everyone a sense of what our volunteers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Just some of the things that some of the questions that people have. I'm just going to read this off. Do you have a bathroom? What makes Berlin so cool? How did he get the name Berlin? Is this free? What's good to eat? What's good here? What should I see here? What should I not miss? Did you get to meet Julia Roberts? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did you get to see Richard Gere? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I didn't know Tuck Everlasting was filmed here. Do you have a bathroom? Where's the bathroom? That's good. What should I go see? Do you have a bathroom? What's good to eat here? I need coffee. I need coffee so bad. Where's the bar? I need a drink. Can I ride my bike? Can I park here? Is this a good place to park? Can I park here? Can I bring my dog here? So just a little taste of some of the things that our volunteers always deal with a smile on their face. So we nominated them for Worcester County Volunteer Services for the Community Spirit Award, and they won. So thank you for doing everything that you do. I really appreciate it.
Sometimes gets taken for granted is that there are many beautiful small towns in this country, and there are many fine restaurants, there's many great businesses in these small towns, but what I believe puts Berlin in a rare league is that when people come here, they have a very enjoyable and unexpectedly enjoyable experience. And it's because of these ladies and Bill that happens. They don't just give them information, they give them a good memory. They come back time and time again. I have visited Ambassador Stan more this year than ever before, and I can't believe the number of people who say they've come back. They've been here before, they told their friends, they told the relatives. So I can't tell you, you're not just giving folks information, you're giving them an experience that they will treasure, remember, and hopefully repeat often.
And Sharon is completely in charge of their schedule. She makes sure that someone is always there, so thank you for doing that.
If not, I'm it.
Yes.
Thank you. You want to get a picture? Or?
I'm ready.
Sure. Thank you.
And there's cupcakes. It says congratulations, yeah. Volunteer in the circle. So help yourself. Thank you.
And I must say, volunteering keeps me going. I've had MS for 24 years. And if it wasn't for the volunteering, I would not want to get up and go, but it does. It makes me go.
Talk about inspiration, right?
Oh, and Mike Wiley's here. Mike Wiley, if we're ever in a jam, Mike Wiley just come in. He'll just stand in.
December 2nd, 2017, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And Lisa,
yes. Would you come up?
Just say your name and
who you're
representing.
Yep. Lisa Long, training, and I'm here to do that reindeer run. 10th year going this year.
10th year.
10th year. Crazy. But yeah, 10th year going.
It's basically, from the application, it looks like it's...
Pretty much the same. Pretty much the same. Atlantic Hotel's behind us, and Burley Oak is behind us, so it's the same volunteers, same old thing, going down to Berlin and enjoying the streets of Berlin in the wintertime. So same distance and everything, and I can make sure good old Officer Downing gets his track
back.
Now, Worcester Youth and Family Services, actually, we're going to go this year with the new, it's a new place in town, or it's not a new place in town, the heroin addiction and all the stuff that's going on in town right now, so we're going with Worcester County Warriors against heroin, and so they're still a local charity, and we really, it's affected too many people, too many kids that I've helped raise. And so Morsha Youth, the family, I've talked to them about it, and they were very much behind and said, yeah, we're against it as well, so we want to help out wherever we can. And so, yeah, it's staying local still. But
that's great. Again, leading by example.
Yeah, trying. Yep, giving them other things to do than that. So, yeah, trying to keep it. Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion we approve the reindeer run.
Okay. We have a motion by council member from Troy Pinnell to approve the reindeer run for Saturday, December 2nd. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we will. I prayed, so we will.
Thank you.
And the next is Bark for Life, which is proposed for Sunday, November 5th, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. DJ Thompson. Yes. Introduce yourself and tell us what this is all about.
All right, so my name is DJ Thompson. I am the co-chair for the Relay for Life of Northwestern and also one of the advisors for the Stephen Decatur High School Relay for Life team. So Bark for Life, in a nutshell, is a fundraising event honoring the lifelong contributions of our canine caregivers. It presents an opportunity for people to be empowered through their canine companion partnerships and to contribute to cancer cures through the mission of the American Cancer Society. So we are affiliated with the American Cancer Society. It's similar to Relay for Life, just this one really involves the four-legged furry friends that we have at home.
So do they participate?
Yes. So instead of... It's a new event. Yes. So instead of having the people register, they're registering their dogs. So it's a thing where they will go around, hopefully the track at the park, and just kind of do different laps while we'll have different sponsors there, different opportunities for people to get word out about their organizations, their businesses. And it's all really about raising money for the American Cancer Society so that we can find a cure for cancer.
That your best friend, hopefully one of your best friends, can be a participant in this five people.
Yes, definitely.
Does anybody have any questions for DJ? Do we have a motion to approve?
Sure, so moved. Let's make a motion for the Bark for Life for 2017.
We have a motion by Council Member Pinnell to approve the Bark for Life on Sunday, November 5th, 2017. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It was 4-0, and congratulations, and we have a very successful event for the benefit of the American Cancer Society. And thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Number four on our agenda tonight is phone system contract being advocated and brought before us by our phone chief, police chief Arnold Bell.
Good evening, everyone. We are actually looking at a telephone system, or we actually have bids for a new telephone system for the new building. And an initial bid, we actually had all the wires and data hookups included. Once we started the process, we realized that we could actually have pulled that out and actually have a dedicated individual taking care of the actual pulling up the lines, and it actually be cheaper and easier. And looking at the vendors, we actually had four bids, and looking at those four bids, we had to realize that one of the individuals right off the bat really wasn't a telephone service company, and they could do other things for us, and we actually pulled them out of the process even before looking at the numbers. And looking at the overall numbers, we actually ended up with three vendors that were putting in the bids, and we feel that the Chesapeake Telephone Company with the bid of $29,518 was the best system for us. We felt they were the best system because, number one, they do a hybrid system redundant. That means if internet and cable systems go down, we still actually have service, whereas not all the other ones provided that service. And they actually provide service and have serviced police companies, police departments in our area before. So again, we're putting before you Chesapeake Telephone Systems for a bid of $29,518, and annually be roughly a cost of $300 each year for the software package.
Is that the total cost for the continued use of this particular contract?
The good thing about this actual system is that actually we're buying everything for ourselves. We're going to own the system. With a couple of other vendors, we're actually, such as now with Comcast, we lease the equipment, and we're going to pay a monthly fee for the actual equipment and some of the services. In this, we actually own everything, and then we'll be able to support all the lines also. Telephone Chesapeake Company's been in business for a while, and they actually are going to be able to help design something that we really need help with, and they'll be able to go ahead and look at the different challenges and be able to work directly with Verizon and Comcast, where some of the other companies were just providing equipment only and not the expertise in the actual business.
Services.
So service and maintenance is part of this deal?
That is the part, and training.
Service, maintenance, and training.
That is correct. The other added part was extended warranty. We went ahead with them, and they have a 5-year warranty on our equipment instead of just having a 1 year as the others and then having that additional maintenance every year. We'd love to go ahead and get that cost up front. We don't have to worry about it, at least for the life of the equipment. Telephones are just like anything else. Over time, you're going to have to go ahead and replace them. So, again, in time, we'll have to worry about that.
You said some of the other police force in the area are using the same company. I'm sure you checked with them down there that they were satisfied with their service.
Chest down, very satisfied with them.
I make a motion to approve this request contract with the Chesapeake Telephone System.
Okay, we have a motion by Council Member Bittingham to approve the contract with Chesapeake Telephone Systems for the Police Department telephone system and in the amount of $29,518. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations. Thank you. We are very anxiously and with a lot of excitement looking forward to our new police station. Thank you for the work of all of you.
Thank you.
Number five on our agenda is courts of Grove Hall Park. I think both town administrator Ron Allen and project coordinator will be presenting the overview of what is quite a detailed report.
We have several reports. Yeah, we have several reports for you tonight. They've been a few months in the works. I'm going to let David start and then I'll jump in on the scientist's report, and I will also flesh out the VA engineering. David's focus is really going to be on the interpretive plan and then the TDF report we received on the structural analysis of the larger building. So David, when you're ready.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. It's good to be with you. We've reached a point in preparing for the development of a park where we've received a certain package of data based on studies that you've authorized. And so the notion tonight is to present these reports publicly, hopefully to get some feedback from Mayor and Council to give us some direction for moving forward. We'll also be briefing the Parks Commission a week from tomorrow at their regular monthly meeting. And at your September 11th meeting, you're going to have a separate presentation from Dave Wilson and Jim Rapp, who prepared the Berlin Falls interpretive plan. It's an interesting report. Their firm is Conservation Community Consulting, and it's an environmental assessment, if you will, of steps that you could take to enhance the enjoyment of the park from essentially a passive user perspective. And they talked in there in the report about enhancing the habitat of the various wildlife, developing an interpretive plan. They have suggestions for actually marketing the natural features by suggesting interpretive panels that you see at some kinds of areas, either historic or parks, that would describe the kinds of wildlife, whether it's birds or other animals that are there. So they're going to come, as I said, at your next meeting on the 11th and go into some detail on their report. We couldn't work out the schedule to get them here tonight. So I don't want to steal their thunder, but I would urge you to take a look at the report. If you haven't yet, please do so before the meeting on the 11th. And one good thing about their report compared to some of the other reports that we're going to be presenting tonight is the price tag is in a league that is, I would think, somewhat manageable, although, you know, I would not suggest that $275,000 is not a lot of money. But when compared to millions of dollars recommended in some of the other reports for various activities, it's a much more manageable recommendation. And one of the positive aspects of the CCC report, and they'll certainly describe it in more detail, is they've broken out the various elements of their recommendation. I think there's about 10 different items, and they've suggested various partners, whether it's an arm of the USDA or the county or various local nonprofits, as well as some parts of the work that could be potentially accomplished by town staff. So they're not just saying, you know, write somebody a check for $275,000, they'll come in and do it. The other aspect of it that I'm sure that you will want to explore over time is it doesn't necessarily all have to be done at once. You could phase the recommendations in. But, you know, you've got a great piece of property, and this, if most of their recommendations are implemented or in some fashion, I think that you'll be able to enhance the enjoyment of the park by the residents and visitors who use it. They'll be able to understand the environment more. And so I think that's enough on that, unless Mayor and Council has questions of me at this point. Let me skip ahead to the structural study that was done of the main building, the former Tyson's processing facility and office building. So we've got this building, and you know that it's not been in use for over a dozen years. The building is significantly deteriorated. So the question, given a range of potential uses on the property, is, well, what's the condition? What would it cost to rehabilitate this building? So we contracted with DBF, who does other work, as you know, for the town. And they sent a structural engineer, Mr. Welch, who came on site a couple of times and looked at the building, examined each specific area. I think he outlined 7 or 8 specific areas and gave us a detailed analysis of the condition of the walls, of the roof, of the flooring, and pointed out the kinds of actions that you would need to take to rehab the building. So in contrast to the first report that had a total of $275,000, this one came in at $2.3 million. The $2.3 million, what does it get you? It gets you a building that basically gets repaired and stems the damage from further occurrences. But it doesn't give you a building that's ready for active use because there's no mechanical, electrical, heating, plumbing systems in place. So what we've done as a follow-up is we've asked the engineering firm to give to obtain some prices for you on demolition, because that may end up being an option that you might want to consider, because the ground is valuable for potential future activities, even if you decide not to retain the building. Those prices should be coming in shortly. As soon as they come in, we'll report to you. And we've asked the engineer to develop a range of various demolition options. You may want to retain part of the building, parts of the building, or none at all. We also asked them to give us estimates on the cost of building systems if we were to recreate an active building. They'll give us that, but I think that we have to sprinkle that report, I'm sure they will too, with some caveats, because until we know what the building use and program will be, it's hard to have a lot of certainty about the cost of an HVAC system or a plumbing or electrical system. But perhaps we can get an order of magnitude report that tells us whether it's $500,000 or $2 or $3 million. That will help inform your decisions. So hopefully those reports can come in perhaps within the month, and we'll report to you. Yes, it's a lot of money, and no, you have not made a decision on the future of the building, but the additional reports that we've asked for can help inform that decision or decisions as to what's going to happen with that structure. And I think that's about all we need to say about the building report, unless you have questions, Mayor and Council.
I'm going to handle the two reports that are reflective of the work we did on the pond. So the town contracted with EA Engineering to take a review of the sediments in the pond. You might recall there's some questions as to whether or not there was some sort of microbiological hazard or some kind of issue residing in the sediment of the ponds. And while the town had tested the water prior to purchasing the property, there were some levels of E. coli. The town did not actually bore into the sediment and dig up the sediment to test it. So the purpose of that work with EA and the Thriving Earth Exchange scientists that were volunteering with us to determine to what extent there were particular issues in the sediment itself. The scientists determined that there was no microbiological hazard. So there's no impetus or health and safety need to remediate the pond. I mean, this is good news because the EA report indicated that the town were to remediate all three of the ponds, the price tag would be about $7 million. I asked EA Engineering, when they provided the initial report, to provide some options rather than remediating all three of the ponds. To what extent would it work? What would the cost be if the town would just remediate the southern, what I think of as the first pond as you come over the hill? Remember the preferred conceptual plan that the council had in place, had that first pond built in with an eye towards having an amphitheater or some sort of entertainment venue being constructed there. EA's estimate is about $2.5 million to fill in that first pond, but do it in a way that would make it possible to construct on top. So we're not just talking about throwing in some soil, but it's actually engineered and compacted enough so that you can turn around and construct on top of it. So again, these aren't things we're necessarily recommending. Well, this is more information that we're gathering to help you make decisions with regard to ways to develop the park. To a large extent, what the town does with those ponds is dependent on how the council wants to use the property in the back, what kinds of programs, again, along the lines of what David's saying, what kinds of programs you would like to have in place ultimately on that property. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Well, I think one thing just to recall, because it's been so long since we had the last of the public input meetings, is that our initial, and I think this kind of reinforces our initial idea that the pond areas, what I'll call the northern half of the property, and our initial idea is have it for passive use. In other words, it doesn't mean people are restricted, but it also does not mean any activities in the water. The water is to be admired. It's to be a great habitat for the wildlife that's already there. It's already an excellent birding area. And I think it's twice a year we have bird watching, major attractions that people from all over the East Coast come to see. So it's good to know if let's say someone wishes to advocate, which you're certainly free to do, that you do some very high intensity activity in the ponds, it's good to know that right away we're talking about several million dollars before anything happened. That was not the purpose for which this property fought when the decision was made by the mayor and council about 2 years ago. And the decision made into law and settlement all this. The idea of a passive park, though, is one where, again, we're very pleased that there's no microbiological hazard, so we don't have to worry about people any age being there. And of course, obviously, we're not going to be tolerating people using it for any other purpose than as a setting to experience what is a truly remarkable and beautiful location. And so I just don't want people to think, oh my gosh, we got to spend millions before doing it? No. This, we wanted to find out, we wanted to know, not just speculate, what would have to be done ponds if certain things were sought by the public, and what would have to be done with it. Would, is it possible, is it financially feasible, does it make sense to invest in the current buildings, or maybe as it looks possibly in some of the buildings and not others, depending on the uses that are ultimately proposed. Right now, nothing's been decided until this is like the beginning in place, so that any other decisions where we're going to be seeking sponsorships, we're going to be seeking charitable contributions, we're going to be seeking all kinds of partnerships based on what other people's interests are and what the town of Berlin, its residents and folks here wish to have, and quite frankly, over time, match up the need and the desire with what assets are available. So to tell you that this will happen first, this will happen second, it's way too early to say that. I would caution, I do think that, you know, we're not talking years before it starts to be able to be used, especially if Mayor and Council, based on recommendations that we've received, to use the park as a passive, enjoyable place with interpretive signage. It's a great place to bike and hike. It's going to be very clean, and people will be able to get picnics and things of that nature. But none of this would require any major expenditure other than, but it would require the expenditure to rehabilitate what has been sitting there. Not touching the sludge, not disturbing anything, just making sure that the plate that the passive environmental area, which I call the northern half, is safe, accessible, and beautiful. And from everything we've been preliminarily told, we're not talking about the matters here.
Now, but go ahead. I ran across a company that kind of had an interesting business model. They grow algae in ponds similar to like what we have at Berlin Falls Park, and then they harvest the algae and send it through a refining process to create a fuel that could potentially be burned in our electric plants on William Street. I mean, it's something that we would have to look into, right, whether it's a good fit or not, but it seems like an interesting business model, and it's eligible for some of those renewable energy credits. I know we've tried a few things in the past with the solar project, the wind turbine. I understand that's kind of the direction that the town's trying to take. But I think it would be interesting if Laura and I could maybe reach out to the representatives of this. It's a Maryland-based company. They're out of Baltimore. They have their first site is in Frederick, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And maybe see if they can come down and take a look and see if the ponds are a fit, see if Berlin is a fit for them.
And I would say, at this point, we're at the beginning of the beginning.
That's what I figured.
And I think philosophically, it sounds like the kinds of things that we want to do. We're trying to be good stewards of the environment, but not followers, but leaders where it makes sense.
And I think with their business model, it seems to fit with the idea that we have with the park and the natural wildlife that's inhabited that area. But logistically, we would have some things that we would have to work out, I'm sure. So it would be nice to maybe just invite them down, let them see the parks, and allow us to be able to get some more information.
If it's all right from the council, just give the information tomorrow, and I'll reach out.
Perfect.
We've got to begin.
It's an idea.
Exploring an idea. Yeah, so. And again, this process of it, I'm very excited we've finally gotten to this point, but I don't want to think that this is going to be all developed in a couple of years.
No way.
Even Santa Claus. So, you know, but over a period of a decade, a lot of things can be done incrementally and as the pieces come together. I kind of see it as a three-dimensional puzzle where there's, where instead of having all the pieces pre-cut, we as a community will be cutting out those pieces and placing them as they make sense, as in dollars and cents as well, and as public interest is expressed, and then there's actual demand for those uses. It's yes, it's ambitious, and I know there are some people who think, can't help it, think very small. This town did not get to where it is by accepting what everybody else says is possible. I believe it's a generational project. I believe there'll be some things that will be initiated long after we're fulfilling our duties as public trustees, but certainly many things will be done after our hopefully long and natural lifetime. This is not a one and done project. It is one that will evolve with the community and with the interest of the community, and even youngsters in our community today will be playing a role in making decisions about future uses of this park. It is not, and the park is a very loose word, it's a sort of an all-encompassing word. We want it to be able to provide experiences and activities that just, no one, we're not trying to have Steve Nicator and Henry Park 2.0. No, we have some activities that have been proposed for Berlin that just are too popular to even consider for downtown. There may be some activities in downtown now that would prefer to move to the park. It opens up a lot of possibilities. And I do just want to emphasize, as excited as this project I believe is, we're not going to set any artificial deadlines just because we want to see something happen right away. Yes, things will happen, but I think this is one of those situations where we need to figure out what we would like and then try to match up. Where do we start? What can we get in place? Where do we have sponsorship? By sponsorship, I mean money. Money will have a lot to do about what gets done in what order, and it'll be a combination of obviously grants and things of that nature, but also contributions. There are a lot of public facilities in this country where people who have worked hard and very successful find a way to leave a legacy by making a significant commitment and support in the community. We are fortunate we have many people like that, and whatever they've given this community has been given, not never passed. Now we may be at a point where if there is significant support, if there is genuine enthusiasm, that we will be in a position to say, this is what town of Berlin would like to add as a part of our legacy as a community for current and future generations, and can you help us? So I just want to give that background, because we haven't talked about it in quite a while. And I also think that it's something that, just so you know, and it's kind of like what comes first. There's so much that's been going on, that I will be proposing to the mayor, the council, to set up an advisory committee that will include a couple council people, but citizens and people from a variety of backgrounds from within the town of Berlin and our immediate surrounding area who can help create the vision and possible help design these puzzle pieces and be a evolving and catalyst for what Berlin Moss Park or whatever it ends up being called in the long run, what it can become. This is exciting because it's truly a community effort. We're open to all kinds of ideas. The only idea that I think that I would discourage is saying nothing's possible. Anybody thinks that it's not possible to do great things over time doesn't know a diddly damn about the order. Okay? And I just have to say that because I've spent my whole life hearing what this town has adopted. And generations who believe and did things and have done things that most small towns can't conceive of besides actually do. And I do hope that we're setting an example for others, because there are so many great communities in Delmarva, the Middle Atlantic, and in this country. And we want to be one of the ones that says, this is a great place to live. But living here does not mean living without, especially to work together. So thank you for your patience, but I had to share that because I think it's the right time. And I will be, very soon, I want to talk to people to make sure that the interest is, that they're willing to dedicate the time that's necessary, and then I will be in a public session recommending an advisory committee in the near future. I won't give an artificial deadline, but we're certainly not talking months, we're talking hours. And that advisory committee would be sort of a steering committee to take charge of this idea and this initiative and begin the process. Does anybody have any questions?
I am very glad to hear you say that you plan to develop this commission that is a committee of group of folks from different aspects of our community to help with the vision of Berlin Falls Park. We have preliminary numbers that can help drive these decisions of what and how that facility is going to be used and what it's going to be. And I'm glad the mayor is going to take the initiative to develop this committee or commission. Because what we want to do is in response to the people of Berlin. We don't want this to be my vision or G's vision or Troy's vision. We want this park to be a vision of Berlin. And the more people that come and share their aspirations and just what they think, I'll give us that much better information to make decisions that will be long-lasting. And we hope for the town of Berlin, life-lasting, for lots of folks. So I'm saying when you're called on to participate, sometimes we're going to ask you to put your personal aspirations aside and come with ideas and suggestions that would not necessarily benefit as an individual, but Berlin as a whole.
And this will be a collaborative effort, and I think most everything in this community that I think we and our predecessors take the greatest pride in are the things that were accomplished with cooperation, collaboration, and mutual respect. And understanding that serve the broadest cross-section of our citizens, to create places where we can our friends and our guests in the community, that we take everyone into consideration, knowing that no single aspect of this wonderful, hopefully potentially exciting project is not meant to do everything for everyone. Different pieces of this puzzle. Some will be highly used by maybe the youth. Others may be very attractive to people who enjoy their time in nature. Other things may be people who are in the arts and entertainment, all kinds of potential festivals. So it's right now the general approach will be not to try to identify all the things that can be done. So let's take a look at all the things that should be done. And then let's see what happens. Let's see what we can make possible. We're going to do it together. It's not my project, it's not the Mayor Council project, it's our community's project. It's unique. And we've got a lot of work to do, but I think it's going to be exciting.
No, I don't have anything else to add other than to thank you for your attention. And if at any time you want to talk to me or send me a comment via email or phone call or stopping in, I'd love to hear from you. And we've talked individually over the last few months, but don't hesitate. I'm always interested in hearing your perspectives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next are our departmental reports. First is our finance director, Natalie Tilley.
Good evening, Mayor Council. We are a week away from fiscal 2017 audit, so we'll have auditors and staff on site for the full week of September 11th through the 15th. So we're getting ready for that and kind of taking away last things to be prepared. Today we had a disconnect day for electric and water for customer service and billing department. And I just want to mention a couple of things. A month ago, so I have attended a small seminar, which was presented by ShoreUp for energy assistant department that comes from the office located in the Snow Hill. And last week I have received a letter and they were stating how much funds available, not specific to Berlin, but Eastern Shore area in general. And I think we don't have enough awareness for people actually to know that there are programs not just for lower income assistance for electric, but also assistance for repairing the AC units or repairing the windows, do some sort of 50-50 things for the lower income or a single parent or many children family. So there are funds available, and people just need to try and apply, fill applications and try. We did not have high numbers today for disconnects, but we still have accounts that were not able to pay the electric bills and got disconnected.
And there's a big dent out right now, but the team yourself and the department heads and Mary and Laura, I'm sure you've always been exploring these things, but are there ways that we can try to get this information out?
We have information in paper that we distribute to people at the counter. We also have information posted on our website. If somebody is kind of shy to ask at the counter. They can also go online and just print it, fill it out. They can also call Snow Hill office, and people there are super friendly and super helpful to just walk them through. We actually have an application in Spanish and English for people who cannot fill it out in English. So we're there to help, we just need to kind of like bring it to
the
English.
This is the thing where you want to extend help, you also want to show dignity, respect the person's
absolutely.
Dignity. Because most people have sometime in their life where there's some sort of financial challenge. Not everybody, but certainly most folks. And so anytime you may be able to identify and very with dignity, be able to get that information to the people because you know they're in trouble, it just encourages you to do so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to add to what Nat is saying, folks that may want information by calling, the Snow Hill phone number is 410-632-3624. And the main office of Shore Up is in Salisbury, and you can contact that office by call at 749-1142 and ask them for the Merlin Energy Assistance Program.
Thank you.
So, Natalie, we had a workshop here at Town Hall.
Yes.
For people to be able to take part in
it? Yes, it was called at the planning department. The representative was on site, and people were able to actually fill out the paperwork and do everything. That doesn't happen very often, but we had it, I believe, at the beginning of the summer for the full of 2 to 3 weeks, a couple of days. And we do announce it. We put it on the bills ahead of the time so people are aware that they can just walk in and meet the representative.
Can we maybe see if we can get them again before winter comes around? And maybe, what's that?
Maybe
have, instead of doing it here at Town Hall, maybe do this next meeting at the multi-purpose building or something like that?
We can ask for that, yes. Sure.
Thank you.
And another thing, gave you the number, but you can actually go right to Shore Up, and a lot of people don't realize where it is, but it's right across from the Holloway Film Home on the Snow Hill Road. Because you pass it before you go out. So,
it's
all right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Gold.
Good evening. The only thing that I have is that we have rescheduled 3 of the movies that were meant to be shown this summer, hopefully, the weather will hold out. The first will be September 9th, then one before September 30th, and then October 7th. So it'll be a little chillier, but I think it'll still be an enjoyable evening.
Thank you. Next is Water. Electric Utilities Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. As far as the library project, the transformer has been installed. The primary has been energized. And the overhead line that fed that back to the bed and breakfast, that overhead line has been removed. The library requested that for steel erection for the building. They were concerned about getting into the overhead line. So they actually had us come in here and go ahead and remove it to make it safe for them. And also at down here on William Street in front of the power plant, pretty sure everyone's aware of the stormwater project there for the road closure and all that. We had a couple of poles down there that we had to secure, do some prep work on for them to dig past it to make sure that it stayed in place. So we did that. Then also, over in Sunset Lakes, we had an issue with a transformer over there that was had some problems with it, and ended up scheduling an outage to replace that. Also at the police department, we helped the electrician over there install the secondary from the transformer into the building. And from what I was told today, they may want to energize that in the next couple of days or so to the transformer into the building. Just waiting on the electrician to contact me. Then also, you may be aware of 2 outages that occurred in the past week. One of them was over on Tingle Road, which Zach, I'm sure you're familiar with that. He lives right around the corner from where it occurs. We had a large limb that broke out of a tree over there and fell across the three-phase line, which in turn knocked out the entire 210 circuit, which approximately 600 people were out of power. We were able to sectionalize and bring 80% of the customers back on pretty quickly, but the rest of them from Tingle Road, Purnell, and Buckingham, we had to wait until we removed the limb from the power lines to energize that portion. And then after that, on which would have been August 23rd, we had two separate outages in the same day. One of them was down at the wastewater plant. A large tree about 30 feet off the ground broke in half, fell across the entire roadway, and fell along the three-phase line on the opposite side of the road. So it was kind of suspended above the road. We had to get in there and get it off before we could energize the line back. And then also, right after that, we had another outage up at Bay Street Terrace Apartments, which we took care of that. And then the last thing I wanted to report on is the generation for peak shaving. So far, we ran a total of 10 times, and the highest Delmarva power peak occurred on July 20th. It was 3,820 megawatts. And then the regional low peak was 146,813 megawatts. That was the regional peak. We actually generated against both peaks. Sometimes we may run strictly against Delmarva, or sometimes we may run against both. But so far we ran a total of 10 times. Compared to last year, we ran a total of 21 times, I believe. And this time we ran 10 to hit the five peaks. And the way the weather's looking, I looked at the weather report for the rest of the week. Unless something drastic happens, I don't think we'll be running again the rest of the year.
Because of predicted temperatures in the middle end.
Yes, they've definitely dropped. It's, you know, it's cooling down, and unless something happens, I don't think we'll run again the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know you've had to do a lot of work in preparation for the peak shaving months, basically July and August, sometimes August. Please pass on our thanks
to
the whole crew, because that's one guy where it's amazing how those few hours can make such a difference. And the credit that we receive from the PJ and the grid.
Thank you.
Tim, I have been in conversation with some residents of the town of Berlin, and their comments about the electric company and outages were very, very positive.
Thank you.
One guy made the comment that it seems that Berlin is never out now, and when they are out, it's only for a short time. That's been since the new guy came.
I'm not going to take all the credit for that. My crew's got a lot.
I tried to tell him that the new guy is not really new now, but he and his crew do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
When you express an outage with Delmar Pond, I haven't looked at this Delmar Pond, but being in Delmar Pond, and where we're located up there, Delmar Pond doesn't have a crew that's active right in the area. So when you lose your bar, the crew has to come from far away in Salisbury or somewhere else, and it's not like Berlin. So I express it both ways, and I would rather have Berlin service.
Thank you.
All right, next is Police Chief Arnold Allen.
We're changing into the school season. We've already made contact, been in contact with the sheriff's office, preparing for the school year, and we'll be making contact with all the administrators. We have quite a few switches in the position, so we're going to make sure that we have all our emergency contact and make sure that we're all on the same page for planning of the new year. That's all mine.
Great. Thank you. Planning and zoning director, Dave.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. As a follow-up to our last meeting where you approved motions concerning the Berlin Bikeway, today I received the latest revision to the grant agreement from Maryland Department of Transportation. So staff will review that. I got that late this afternoon, about 4 o'clock. We'll review that over the next few days and try and get that in place, and maybe we can get started on the design sooner rather than later. We also discussed at the last meeting possibilities of getting the bike path connected over to the east side. We started to look at some of that. We do, in fact, own a 20-foot strip between Main Street and William Street, all the way through along the fencing of the electric plant. There could be some obstacles to using that piece also, mainly the fence along Tim's plant and some of the ditches, so, but it's a place to start to look. And as we get further east and across the highway, we'll see where we can look up there. There's some possibilities, I think, there that might work, but just kind of scratch the surface on that. And we also got some nice coverage out of it last week, Wednesday night, WMDT. They had interviewed me on television for a story. They ran that Wednesday night. And BOC, they interviewed me over the phone, and they ran their own story. Both of them covering the same topic on the same night, you know, the bikeway. So I think it was some good coverage for us. I've gotten a lot of people calling me since. What was that? Just wanted to say, most of the bigger projects, like you heard Tim energizing at the police department and the library, they all seem to be on schedule or pretty close to what they had anticipated. The police department, the library, the cancer center over at AGH, Oceans East, and we're getting near, it looks like we're getting near the, headed towards the end of the sidewalk project on Main Street with State Highway. And they all seem to be moving along. I think the better weather's helped in all those cases. Library especially, you see the steel coming out of the ground, and the column in the center is for the elevator shaft. Now you can kind of envision maybe what it's going to look like, so after all this time. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Dave? Next is Economic and Community Development Director, Audie Wells.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. If you look at your screen, one of the projects that I've been working on, several years ago, we received a grant from Coastal Realtors, right? Coastal Association of Realtors, for some chalkboards that we were going to post some questions for the community and they could write their answers. Unfortunately, we ended up cleaning profanity off of the chalkboards a little more often than we had hoped. So we had stored those chalkboards in the back, and then I thought that that we could use them for a different purpose. So I hired an artist who actually worked for the Bayside Gazette, and she helped me design those panels. One of them we've already had in existence. So now our chalkboards are actually history panels, and the mayor got to see those in person last week, and they, everyone that's coming to the Welcome Center has really commented, and they read them, and it looks really nice now in the Welcome Center. So please stop by and take a look. And then we did receive top 10. We are a semi-finalist for the Great American Main Street Award. It's basically the highest award that our downtown could win. It's run by the National Main Street Center and the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and hopefully we'll win. I'm not going to find out for several months, but it's really nice to be in the top 10. I worked really hard on that application. I know I had to get several letters of recommendation, so that's really awesome news.
Congratulations.
And then just a couple things. Shakespeare on Main Street is Saturday night at 7:30. It's free. Brown Box Theater will be performing Hamlet. Just bring a chair down. Island Creamer will be open. So grab an ice cream and come down and enjoy Hamlet. And then also September 9th is the Small Town Throwdown. Three country honky tonk bands. Have some food vendors and kettle corn. And that is sponsored by John Fager and Fager's Island. That's it.
Any questions, Bobby? All right, the final report then is from Managing Director Jeff.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
One tip thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mayor.
Ivan.
Yeah.
I gave your name to a young lady that I had a brilliant idea of having a Thanksgiving Day parade. Down Flower Street. Her name is Miss Hayward. And she said she would be giving you a call. If not for this Thanksgiving, she's looking to Thanksgiving 2018.
And what's her name?
Miss Hayward.
Miss Hayward.
I don't know her first name.
You don't know where she is, right?
I think her first name is Lakita. Lakita Hayward.
Sounds familiar.
That's probably so wrong.
Got the Hayward, that's the Hayward. Now, Jack.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just one quick thing. The 2017 GGen concluded this past weekend, and I do want to acknowledge Chris back here. He, in the course of one day today, it's incredible. It is truly incredible the amount of work that they put in, putting it back to the way it was before they started. Still some things to be done, but significant progress. Unfortunately, wet weather is expected tomorrow. We don't need that right now. We need to dry a little bit, but Chris has assured us that those things will be done over the course, when the weather permits. But things from 6 o'clock this morning versus 6 o'clock this evening, not even a comparison. You get in and you saw both. It's incredible.
Great. Thank you. All right. Next is the town administrator's report.
Got a couple of updates on some projects. This is actually some photos from the gas main break that we had the other Saturday. This was a function of an unmarked gas line. We had a planned repair. When the water crew went out to do the work, they hit the unmarked gas line. So emergency response folks were called in, and then we also, for the residents that were asked to evacuate, it was about 10 homes. We put up a little, you can see the upper right-hand corner, a little tent with some donuts and some coffee. We also had some water and some chairs. Well, most of the folks that came out of their homes and were asked to evacuate went for breakfast, but I think we had maybe 7 or 8 folks that hung around for the 2 or 3 hours it took for the all clear to be given. So thankfully nobody was injured, and it was all disruptive to the morning. It didn't result in anything catastrophic. So. Baker Street, we are advertising this project this week. Bids are due on the 29th of September, so that project's moving along. William Street Culvert, we will have a road closure. This project's being delayed a little bit. It turns out State Highway is looking for some additional information from us. And since William Street is a state highway, it's required to get their approval before we can proceed. So
it's still September 5th?
It'll be September 5th. We had a code red announcement that let folks know we have anything to consider like today, but it turned out it's really going to be after Labor Day and on the 5th of September.
The release is going out about that.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay,
press release tomorrow morning.
Just about filed.
Yep. So you'll see that.
Do you have any follow-up questions?
Right. And it will be a total road closure for several weeks.
schools between Cedar and Calvin. That's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Laura?
Yes. Tell me how this was a mark. So the gas company was in town, I guess it was about a year or so ago, and there were market days and things down and all that kind of stuff.
When we go to do a project like this, like a repair, we call the utility to mark the utilities, and we go out and mark ours, and we mark the
mistake. It was a mistake.
It was a mistake on their part.
Yes.
What I know on that as well, the gas main was marked, but there was a lateral that came off. The lateral was not marked, and that's what was hit.
By the gas.
So going forward, and this thing could have been terrible.
Yes.
What assurances? And I know it seems like additional precautions in light of this accident can be taken or should be taken when dealing with commission utilities. I don't know if that's possible or how that works, but if one lateral was not marked, I wonder if there are more in the borough that are not marked.
It's a good question.
Will our GIS software help us in this way at all?
I don't see us getting access to the specifics with regard to where their utilities are are laid. But let me do some follow up with Jean. She was unfortunately she went home sick today. Yeah. So she and I have not actually been able to have a chance to do some debriefing around this. Let me just follow up with her to figure out what specific steps she's put in place.
I think this is a good example of where in times past, or in past times, utilities and local government and private enterprise were on different planets and had no incentive to share much information except what was absolutely necessary. I think that, based on my own observation as a resident, there's a true spirit of cooperation. And I do think that part of the problem is that so many of our utility lines, regardless of what they are, rather than the gas line, sewer, water, small one at all, brand new, but it's so old, there's no record. And that's where we as we improve these streets, we're going to be getting a detailed record of what it remains with, I guess, West Street being the most recent one. Every time we dig up an old street in town, it's like a surprise box of old everything. And I can understand that at the time they didn't think about 75, 80, 100 years later, and now we're there. And I do say that I do get my impression from my work here at Town Hall is that utilities are very much want to work with us, are trying to work with us, and they are running into some of these same problems. And I think the key thing is just keep working the other ones. Just keep working. I think it's going to be a generational thing. And there will be a day where there'll be no street that has not been uncovered and modernized and all that. It's very important. And maybe, like I say, can just reach out to them and maybe look up just with a phone call. Maybe ask them in. Sometimes those face-to-face talks, it doesn't have to be confrontational so much as, what can we do? How can we help each other? And I think they would be very open. So that's my question. Yeah, thank you. I have no comments except to say that I know that all of us have been impacted by watching the horrific storm that's impacting the state of Texas. And I know that parts are impacted by the storm, just like all the physical things in the world. And hearts and prayer thoughts go out to those many people living in a coastal area as we do. I think sometimes we can have a greater appreciation for what they're dealing with. Although, from what I understand, this is a precedent-setting, record-breaking storm because of its magnitude and duration. So I just know that the people are speaking on behalf of the people of Berlin. Thinking of you, please keep an eye out. I'm sure there will be opportunities for those who are so inclined or have the ability to make a donation to help the many different charitable agencies that addressing the situation. And, in time of need, we help our neighbors right around here, and this is an unprecedented scale, and I think we just all wish them the best and hope that the damage is limited to those things that are real property, because what really matters are the lives and the families and the people, and hopefully the damage to them will be minimal. That's what we all hope for.
I echo the mayor's empathetic words for people of Texas. Outside of that, I have no further comment.
Same thing. Echo the same message.
All right. Do we have any comments or anybody wish to address the mayor council on the issue? Yes, come forward.
I just have one thing. Thank the mayor council for letting us use Berlin Falls Park for Jeep Jam once again on behalf of CC Customs, let's say Jeep Week and Berlin Jeep Jam. It was a very successful event. Just to give you some insight, Saturday was the busiest day ever out there. We ran over 1,000 Jeeps through the course and had over 5,000 people through the gates, counting people in the Jeeps. So if anybody was by there Saturday, it was packed from the American Legion all the way up through the facility, the entire facility. We had a photo company come out and do drone footage. I will give you a copy of that. It shows Jeeps and vehicles parked from Food Line at 113 and 50 all the way around. I mean, it was all downtown Berlin was full, over to William Street. It was pretty impressive to see the amount of people that we brought to the town for Saturday. So it was nice to be able to do an event there. Just for future impact, I'd like to be able to try to do something else in Berlin, whether it's Jeep Jam or maybe future events on that facility, and we'll address that when time comes. But I just want to say thank you. The event was wonderful. We had no issues. Everything went wonderful. We had beautiful weather, which really helped. So
thank you. Thank you so much. It was indeed a very, very successful event. and you must be doing something right, because you had three nicest days we've had in 2017.
We got very lucky with that.
So if we, whatever you got to do to bring back the weather, thank you. No, it was very successful, very well done. Anyone else wish to address the council or ask a question for me? Any comments or questions from the press?
Thank you very much for your attendance.